5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good Wednesday afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And, you know me. I love starting the show off when we can get studs in studio. Bodie Hume sitting in with us here, sporting the Nuggets, the retro Nuggets looking pullover, man. It's looking good.
Yeah, one of my favorite hoodies for sure.
And now I didn't know if it was new, but you said you've had that for a while.
Definitely had it for a long time. I went to a game probably two and a half years ago and got this.
So all right, man. It's looking good. It's looking good. All right, 673. That's the number that we found out. Southern Utah had not lost a home game in 673 days. Until Saturday on New Year's Day, the UNC Bears go in and knock off, well, the team that was picked to finish in the top of the Big Sky. I know there's a lot of work to do, but 3-0 in the conference coming off of a huge win against Southern Utah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of it's just going to be carrying that momentum over to the next game. But, I mean, we had guys that shot really well. We had guys that played really well. And it was just an awesome game to be a part of.
Well, I mean, obviously we know the shooting was there. But what were you guys seeing that Southern Utah was giving you, I mean, on the offensive side? Because, my goodness, 17 of 41. You guys were shooting lights out in this one.
Yeah, no, we just got a lot of opportunities. I think Matt Johnson, Dalen Kuntz, and even Cora Jakuch really played a huge factor in that, because those guys are offensive threats just as much as Drew and I are. And for us to get the opportunities to shoot threes because they were giving us the ball and because they made us get open is what ultimately led to success for three-pointers.
Well, that's what's so lethal with you guys, is you have so many weapons, so many shooters. I was joking with Dalen Kuntz. It's like your Spider-Man out there, man. He can just find all these weapons to toss the ball to.
Absolutely.
And when you guys are launching them like that, you're just so tough to beat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think if you go back and really rewatch the game, you'll see that even though Southern Utah had a few runs, we just hit big threes when big threes needed to be hit, and it was just really a lot of fun.
Yeah, win that game 91-81. Again, this is our Bodie Hume segment. We do this once a week. We move it around because you're a busy guy. Schedules are absolutely nuts now this time of year. Presented in part by First Advantage. Of course, First Advantage has been with us for a very long time. They are absolutely diehard UNC Bears supporters, and they love everything that Bodie has done since you were the Big Sky Freshman of the Year back then, man. Yeah. I mean, First Advantage, of course, a big supporter of all things UNC.
Yeah, I couldn't be more thankful for them.
And we got a new sponsor that we got to talk about. I know you know this place extremely well. Everybody in Greeley knows Cables in Greeley, of course. They're hooking up with us. We're going to be talking about them. And I know that's another one of your hangouts, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Cables has been great for us. We've got a lot of pregame meals through Cables, and I've eaten there a lot of times, and it's a really good spot.
What's your go-to there? Because, I mean, I've done the pizza there. The spaghetti, obviously, is outstanding.
Huge fan of the spaghetti. The meatballs, very impressive in the spaghetti that I get, I guess. And the mac and cheese is really good. I like the mac and cheese. It's got some chicken in it, and it's pretty good stuff.
You can't beat it, man. Now we want to think. Okay, well, I mean, we love these local places, right? These local places like Cables. I know 2020, 2021, all that stuff was hard, especially on restaurants. But Cables Pub and Grill, man, they stuck it out. They've been there. They do the right things, and it's good to have them on board.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, let's go back to some X's and O's, some hoops talk. Okay, I was looking at this stat, you know, looking at the Big Sky Conference standings, the preseason standings. I don't know if you guys get too crazy about them. I do. I love to look at them. The three teams you beat, you're 3-0 in the Big Sky Conference. That's good to lead the conference right now. Montana, Montana State, and Southern Utah, they were all picked to finish ahead of you. And I know there's a lot of season left, but that's got to be a nice start. That's got to feel pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. I think all of us knew, everyone on the team knew that going into it, we were going to be pretty low on the totem pole, I guess you could say, and we knew the teams that were going to be ahead of us. And when the projections came out, we kind of understood and just knew that we were kind of undermined and looking forward to being able to compete against these teams and show what we really are about.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be a cool thing for you guys, because you can take that almost as a chip on your shoulder along throughout the schedule, throughout the season, when you look at that, because you know the talent that you guys have. And then when you see the standings, have you guys picked the preseason rankings, have you guys picked, what, fifth or sixth or something like that? It's something you're probably going to take with you the entire year.
Absolutely. I think for since I've been at UNC, we've been always a team that gets kind of underlooked or overlooked in a way, and honestly, the Big Sky is a good program, a good conference, and they have a lot of good teams as well. Anyone can win on any given night, and so we're just trying to do our best to win the most games.
You do hear that. I mean, this Big Sky Conference, you hear it from I hear it from a lot of our insiders that are covering those, you know, those the Pac-12s of the world. They look at it and say, man, this Big Sky team, you got to watch out for that top five or six teams on any given night. They could pull off something pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And you guys have done that. I mean, obviously, finding ways to finish, that's what you were working on in that Southern Utah game. Every time it seemed like they were about to make this thing interesting, you and Drew, I think you just had like a bet to see who could hit the most three-pointers.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, like I said, we had some guys, even Matt Johnson and Daylen Kutz hit some really tough shots down the stretch, and Kaur Jakuch, honestly, Smiley says it all the time, Kaur makes plays that aren't going in the stat book, and if you go back and watch, there's about a minute left, and I almost turn the ball over. Kaur comes and grabs it for me, and ultimately we get a bucket out of it, so I couldn't be more thankful for him and all my teammates to help me get
that
win.
That was a huge play. Angel, you heard that on the way home, I'm sure, but you know, hearing Jason, who's filling in for Jerry, talk about that was an absolute monster play,
yeah.
But there were so many big moments in this game. Like I said, I'm sitting there nervous. I'm listening. I'm thinking every time, okay, Southern Utah, they're so good at home. They're going to find a way to keep themselves in the game. But time after time, you guys come up with the big play and the big shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, shout out to the guys that played and all of us that put in the effort. Everyone did what they needed to do, and then ultimately it helps us win a lot of games that way.
Yeah, you're finding your shot. Drew's finding his shot. 17 of 41, I was listening to the post-game press conference with Steve Smiley. He's like, hey, if it's somewhat open, we're going to let it fly, man.
Absolutely.
We're going to go out. Such a fun brand of basketball to watch. No doubt play for you guys.
No, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it gives everyone more opportunities. Kaur gets a lot of offensive rebounds because he gets long misses to go to us on threes, or we get so many open looks, and it's just nice to have him fall this year.
You're leading in three-pointers made, but also the percentage. You guys have made 165 three-pointers this year. Next in line is Montana State with 128.
Yeah.
You're blowing it out of the water,
makes
man.
Makes sense, yeah. Yeah, we shoot a lot of threes.
38%. And I mean, it's such a lethal weapon, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you have that, you're going to do damage to any team you face.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, I mean, you hate to say it, but honestly, threes are better than twos. So to have the ability to shoot threes, not just living and dying by a three-point shot, but the ability to make and shoot threes is just what's helped us win a lot of games this year.
I know that's been such a huge part of your game. Are you seeing that, though, with younger guys coming up? You look at Steph Curry. You look at the NBA. There's really no in-between anymore. You're either taking it to the rim or you're shooting threes. There's not a lot of that mid-range action because you just said it. You can come back like crazy. You can run leads with that three ball. It's such a weapon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think like putting it into my own experience, for me to make varsity basketball when I was in high school, the only thing I was good at was pull-up twos. Hmm. And couldn't catch and shoot threes, couldn't finish the rim, so all I did was shoot pull-up twos. And as you get older, you start to realize, like, well, you got to move back and you got to have better opportunities to make deeper shots. And ultimately, that's what I started doing with three-pointers, and it just carried on throughout my career. And you see it every day. As people love to be able to shoot three-pointers. People want to shoot from the logo and want to be able to make half-quarters consistently, when honestly, that's not necessarily the case. It's just about putting the ball in the hole.
So when you were a freshman in high school, that's when you said, all right, I need to change my game a little bit here. I need to start perfecting the three-point ball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was a post player for pretty much my seventh and eighth grade year. So going into high school, I knew that I needed to be able to make those shots and at least at a solid percentage and not have to worry about just being a driver, I guess, that I didn't know was a thing back then.
Makes it easier, right?
Yep,
hey,
absolutely.
Just it's like Happy Gilmore when he says, hey, I just want to try to get the ball in the hole in one every time.
Yep.
You just try to get 3 points.
Exactly.
It makes it easier. It's been so much fun to watch this team. Sac State coming up on Saturday. And Sac State, you know, they're 4-6. They're 0-3 in the conference. But I know you guys, you're looking at this game saying, hey, this is a huge opportunity for us to continue on rolling undefeated through the Big Sky.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you really look into it, they're one of the best offenses in the conference with the personnel that they run. They have a point guard that's a big point guard. He's an oversized point guard, and he gets a lot at the rim. He finishes well, and they have a shooter that shoots the crap out of the ball, and he honestly is one of the better shooters in the league, if not one of the top. And so that's just preparing for him like we're going to prepare for them like we're going to prepare for anyone, whether it's Texas or CSU or Sac State. We're involved in just trying to make sure that we're going to have our best chance.
What can you give us as far as, you know, what your defense looks at? You just mentioned you got a point guard there. You got one of those tough-nosed point guards that's going to try to get to the rim. What has practice been like as far as, you know, film study and everything that you're looking at to try to neutralize him a little bit?
Well, so far we've looked at film from our past game and what we can do better there, because we always just want to look at ourselves first and make sure we're doing our best thing for ourselves. But for Sac State, we do have a lot of scout. They run a lot of offensive sets that they've ran for many years, so it's not too bad for me. But it's really getting everyone on board that hasn't seen these guys play before. I mean, I've got to see them play 6 or 7 times now. So I know most of the guys and most of what they're about, but it's just still trying to figure everything out.
We're talking to Bodie Hume here. We catch up with Bodie every single week, talk all things UNC Bears basketball. I want to thank First Advantage and Cables for putting this together, for sponsoring us, and making this segment, this show possible each and every week. We're not escaping it, the COVID stuff. I mean, it's still there. We did get news. The Portland State game set for Monday has now been postponed. I guess you almost expect that at this point to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us, we're always confused in the rules and the certain things that have to be followed. I don't know if it's a postponement or a cancellation. You never know with these guys nowadays. I hope that they end up staying healthy enough to be able to get through the season, and I hope that nothing really affects them again. I know that their numbers are really high, so they might not have a problem the rest of the season, to where we haven't had a problem yet, and we're just trying to make sure we stay healthy and stay in our little bubble in order to give a good season.
Yeah, it is so interesting. You're right, because you know, just looking at the new variations, the new rules, all of that stuff, it's confusing. I mean, you guys are at least there, but looking up from the outside looking in, I never know what to expect as far as, you know, are we going to try to look for a different game? What goes into that?
Absolutely. I think for us at this point, we played so many tough games in the year that if something does come about, we're going to try to do a postponement and be able to play our conference games and not necessarily have to worry about another non-conference game. But I know for us, we're just trying to focus on how do we keep healthy, what do we do to follow the guidelines and not have to quarantine as many people or not have to worry about cases as much. And so we're taking everything we can in there. And Smiley is a big, big, I don't know, critic, I guess. Not critic, he has a big understanding of this problem, and he just says, like, look, you have to go out and you have to practice one day at a time, you have to play one game at a time, and just be thankful that you're on the floor and not in quarantine again.
I mean, having the right kind of coach in this now more than ever, right, is so important. As you mentioned, he's one of those guys that really gets what's happening. He's so supportive of pretty much anything that you guys are about, what you need to do. It's got to be a luxury to have a coach like
absolutely.
That.
Coach Smiley's done a great job on the court, off the court, with COVID, with problems that we have personally, with on the court problems. Like, he's been the perfect coach we could ask for. He understands, he listens, and he ultimately just wants us to see us succeed.
Well, so far so good, my friend. You're sitting at 8-7. You got over that 500 mark. 3-0 in the conference. That's the big one. And as we mentioned, not just regular conference games either. These were huge. The three teams picked to finish above you guys, and so far so good. Bodie, it's so much fun to watch this basketball team, man. And a home game this Saturday, great opportunity for fans to get out and check you guys out.
Kids' day, too. Kids get a promo code, they get in at a discounted price, so keep that in mind.
Angel, you can go to the game now, man.
Great.
That's awesome, and I love what you guys do in the community. You guys are so fantastic with that, and it's just such a getting to know you more, Bodie, and, you know, obviously talking to Daylen more. You guys are just some great dudes and amazing basketball players, so it's so much fun to follow and root for you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, man, go get them. Let's get number four. Grab four this weekend, and we'll get with you next week.
All right, perfect. Sounds good.
All right, that's Bodie Hume. Thanks in part to First Advantage and Cables for helping us put this together each and every week. 19 minutes after the hour, we'll talk about our poll question of the day. Should Vic Fangio be given one more year? We'll get to that. Also, Doug Gottlieb of Stadium will join us in the at the bottom of the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
With Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
23 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Bodie's awesome, isn't he? Bodie Hume and Drew Cookshausen were just like, well, and Matt Johnson, too. They were just having like this old school shootout on Saturday, New Year's Day, to beat Southern Utah. It's a big win. Folks, you got some big basketball happening throughout this area. CSU beat Air Force last night. It wasn't pretty. In fact, it was ugly. But they found a way to get it done. And we're going to talk about that later on. We've also got the David Roddy Show coming up at 1 o'clock. So do not miss that. The David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Getting these student-athletes on, talking to us about the game, giving us a little more insight than we normally would. It's fantastic, man. So we do appreciate everybody, you know, supporting these players, the player network, the KFK player network that we have grown here. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. They're celebrating their 11th anniversary now. And you know what? They've been with us since we started this show. Their game beer of the week is from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont. You can pick up S'mores Milk Stout, which is perfect considering the weather we've had the last week or so. Supposed to snow. Maybe it's snowing. I don't know. They lock me in this little box of a studio, and I'm not able to go outside.
Do I need to go on the roof and check?
You might need to go on the roof. Yes, you do need to go on the roof.
All right. I'll be right back.
You'll have a better picture of it, too, because you'll be up higher. You'll be able to warn us about the snow coming down. So we do appreciate
that. It's only like 10 feet, right? This isn't a two-story building here.
Just way up there, man. The weather's different up there. But a shout-out to On the Rocks, man. They're one of those local sponsors that makes this show rock and roll since, we've been going for quite some time here in Northern Colorado. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm just asking it. I'm just throwing it out there because I want to know what you guys are thinking on this because I'm sensing some resistance, some small amount to firing, moving on from Vic Fangio. Do you want Denver to give him one more year? Go vote. That is our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, and that's available at thewholeshow.com. Would you like to see Vic Fangio be given one more year? You just saw Chicago looking to part ways with Matt Nagy. Would Vic Fangio bring his old pal, Nagy, over to Denver to be the offensive coordinator, move on from Pat Shurmur? Because I'm sensing that a lot of you guys are putting the blame more so on Shurmur as opposed to Vic Fangio. That if, okay, well, you just made a bad decision with your head coach, or with your offensive coordinator, so let's go and just fix that, and that would allow Vic Fangio to focus more on the defensive side of the ball. Matt Nagy or Pat Shurmur, I don't know. I mean, he's good. He got a head coaching job because of his ability to be an offensive-minded guy, an offensive coordinator. So does that change things any? Or would you just rather see Denver move on from Vic Fangio? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. 27 minutes after the hour. We got Doug Gottlieb coming up in the next segment. Doug, if you don't know, obviously he was a stud college basketball player. He's amazing on Fox Sports. He's got his own show. You hear him on Colin Cowherd all the time. We're excited to talk to Doug. He called that game last night. He did color commentary for the CSU Air Force game. So we're going to get his thoughts kind of from that national perspective. So I'm looking forward to that. First, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-one minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Efforting to get Mr. Gottlieb on. Doug Gottlieb, of course, host of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports. So we'll see if we can get him on. He was on the call last night for CSU and Air Force. And I think it's to be expected that the Rams were shaking off a little rust. I mean, they were rusty last night, though. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the spread was Rams favored by 19. If you took that going in, especially after you see Air Force beat Utah State, I think you're kind of crazy, right? I think you're absolutely nuts. Smitty texting in, FYI. You have the best bumper music. Thank you. You know what? Thank you. I get I got a lot of rockers out there. Thank you. I love that. That made my day right there, Angel.
It's your playlist. I just picked the songs.
All right. So we're still with Doug. He's a busy guy, Angel. You leave him a voicemail. Just leave him what are you going to say? Just say, hey, what's going on, man?
My job's on the line, Doug. I need this. Please
answer the phone. Please get him on. Eastside Chris, I'm sure you will poo-poo this. I think Mayfield could be another number seven. Dude is tough. Harbaugh could bring him around. Would you like to see, you know, you look at Jim Harbaugh come over and Baker Mayfield. Mayfield? You in on that?
I think Mayfield's got some talent, and I think obviously this year he's just been banged up all year and he hasn't been able to show it. But I still think he's pretty talented, and I think a fresh start for him in Denver might not be so bad.
Well, here's the deal. If it's not Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, which is still pretty far-fetched, am I right? Then who's it going to be? You taking your chances with this year in the first round? Probably not. You're going to have to go look at one of those other guys. At that point, Angel, to be honest with you, stay with Drew Lock. Just if you're talking about bringing a guy around, you might as well just stay with Drew Lock.
I mean, I don't think Mayfield needs to be brought around. I think he's a solid. He can be a starting quarterback. I just think his injuries this year limited him.
So what's his contract like with Cleveland? Because he's still under his, or is he a free agent next year?
I think he hasn't re-signed, so he's still on that 4-year rookie deal.
Huh. So is this his fourth year? This is his fourth year, isn't it? So he would be technically, he would be a free agent. Would Cleveland move on? From
they've
Baker?
Already iced him for the season. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Boy, bettors beware this weekend because you don't know who's going to play, who's motivated to play. I was listening to our show, the show at 2 o'clock, Betting Across America with Pritchard. And he said, hey, you look at this situation this weekend, and you got to be very careful. We'll try to call Doug one more time. Try to give him a buzz. Yeah, I hear you, Steve. I hear you, man. We'll see. I promoted you. Let's see if we could get Doug Gottlieb on the show 35 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Keep those texts coming. Do you think Vic Fangio should be given one more year with the Broncos? We'll get into that. Maybe Doug can talk to us about that, too. Doug Gottlieb, host of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Of course, basketball analyst with State. Oh, there it is. Live studio audience. Susan and Cheryl, fantastic. Great call by you guys last night. Doug, it's an honor to get you on the program, my friend.
Okay, so here's what I said, okay? I said, obviously, you know, it's like one of those, like, factoids you want to inform people about, right? Which
yes.
is like playing it out too is hard. And then I said, and obviously, Colorado Springs, they're training it above Mile High. And in regards to the fatigue, I mean, what's interesting is how well Air Force played, considering you had three dudes that I think played 40 minutes. So it was like one of those. And I wanted to do this on my show for a long time, which is like, out of context, or you cut something halfway, you know, and because things sound very, very different. But yes, I am aware that Colorado Springs is even a higher altitude than FOCO, and so the fatigue wouldn't be caused by playing in altitude. It's also there's the famous line from Jerry Tarkanian, right? He used to tell his players when they say, you know, hey, get ready to play in altitude. He'd say, "Don't worry, the game's indoors." You know, so yes, I'm well aware.
Doug, I appreciate you. I had to poke fun because it just hit my ear wrong. But I got to be honest with you, man. Just ask my wife. Everything hits my ear wrong. So I made a mistake. I wanted you on the show, and I appreciate you, my friend.
No worries. That was a crazy deal, right? Where they hadn't played in 24 days,
yeah.
And then Air Force, you know, doesn't have like four of their top eight. And so, like, I'm talking to Joe Scott before the game. He's like, I don't know. We'll just like see what these guys got. See if we can keep it close. And honestly, that, you know, it's like two plays away from that thing going down to the wire. That was an interesting night. But I was just texting with Nico. I was like, you learn a lot about, and I think he learned a lot about his team. Like, you know, they had some dead legs and missed some shots. And I mean, boy, Kendall shot three air balls, which I don't think he's ever shot an air ball in his life. I mean, that's crazy. But I've been thinking all year, like at some point he's going to have to trim that bench. Like, you just can't play 11 dudes, no matter how talented they are, the whole year. And if you looked, when that thing was tight late, he really went to six guys. And that's pretty telling for, I think, what he wants to do, what he's figuring in conference play. It doesn't mean he's only going to play six, but it means once you get to nut cutting time, those feel like the six that he's going with as of now.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because, I mean, on one side, we brag about the depth, and we say, hey, at the end of the day, I mean, there was a game a few weeks ago against Northern Colorado, also in Colorado, Doug, against UNC.
Probably an altitude, too, right?
Just a little bit. They were going at it. And, you know, and I thought the Bears were going to pull off this upset out of the Big Sky Conference, but CSU's depth really started to take hold. So in that fashion, it can really make sense. But you're right. When you get into these games, especially when you're not at your best, or you have an Air Force team that just came off of beating Utah State, they're confident coming in, even without some of their studs. You kind of got to trim it down, like you said. You got to go to your guys, and you know that more than anybody when it comes to basketball. At the end of the day, when push comes to shove, you can't really go deep into that bench.
Well, I mean, last time I had checked, there's only one ball. You can only play five, you know.
True.
And so depth, on the other hand, you know, the fact that they do have 11 that can play, and you can't, I mean, you know, you very rarely this year have you seen, you know, they could go to three bigs, you know, if they really wanted to. I mean, Deshaun is really a face-up four, you know, who can block shots, and Moores could be the five. They can toggle to that lineup. So they have a great amount of versatility, which I do think will help them, not just in conference play, conference tournament play, COVID, but also which they appear like all out of the woods, you know, but also NCAA tournament play, where you get a guy that gets early foul trouble or he's just not playing well. But you do have to you have to know who you are once you get to March. You got to know who, and the idea, the ensemble cast is a great idea, but it tends to not really work all that much. But he's been doing all the right things. He keeps everybody engaged by playing guys, as many guys as possible. You know, you got to manage the fact that the guys, you know, as much as they have great team guys, end of the day, they're still college kids. And I mean, they're so fortunate. Chandler Jacobs is a great kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to him for about 20 minutes yesterday. And, like, he was like, you know, I haven't done this. You know, I didn't have this confidence coming out of high school, but I got to play right away at Dallas Baptist, and I've just been kind of the guy. And so I still kind of have a role where I score, but I have to do it in much – but I'm – you know, he really likes the culture, really likes the guys, feels at home. That doesn't feel like pinched for minutes, but that's a rarity, you know. I mean, like, look, you can go in there, you play 20 minutes and play really well and end up with, you know, 9 points and a couple rebounds and a couple assists. And, you know, your boys back home are like, yo, what's up? Like, 9 points? Really? You're like, look, I only played 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a volume of possessions, volume of shots you're not going to get, especially when you're playing some of these teams are going to hold the ball a little bit on you. But he's been able to manage it. But I do think that, you know, depth is overrated until you badly need it. On the other hand, you do need to know who your core group is when you want to go in for the kill. And I think that's what Nico has given us a sign of. Where he is as of now. That changes. It's January 4th or 5th now today. And so that thing will change by February, but that's a good sense of what he thinks he has once he gets to when it's really important.
We're talking to Doug Gottlieb, host of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio, also basketball analyst for Stadium. As much crap as we're giving each other on the call, I love one of my favorite calls I've ever heard from a color commentator, Doug, was you guys did another CSU game a few weeks back, and I think you said something along the lines of, David Roddy, stop that. These kids have families. And I was losing it, man. It's my favorite call I've ever heard.
Yeah, no, he's pretty good. I mean, he kind of deboed a couple guys yesterday.
Well,
and I mean, I really like him. I continue to contend that, like, he should, two things should happen when the season ends: either bulk up and play football, or trim down and play basketball. Either one would be are good with me. But he's awesome. I mean, what a great find, and a really interesting player. You know, because I'm guessing he's 6'4" and change, bare feet, but I mean, he gets it down there. He's such a good passer. And then last night, I mean, he shows, obviously they play where they, Colorado State plays where they double from the baseline. But, you know, a lot of guys, you say, hey, we're double from the baseline. They just kind of stand there in the high side and they quit playing. Like, he doesn't. He's really effective most times without fouling in the low post. You know, he's quick enough to switch on to guards. He can shoot. He can score. I actually think probably the part of his game that he could work on and improve even more is the ability to score in that low post, like just use that size. But he's a pretty dominant player at this level, and it's really fun to watch.
Doug, from your perspective, I mean, obviously you've seen a few CSU games now, but you're covering games nonstop all over the country. Where does this team stack up? The guy, David Roddy, Isaiah Stevens, I mean, they're 20th in the country right now. I don't know if that's going to move much with the conference, with the Mountain West now, with what's in front of them. But what do you think of this team? I mean, are they – obviously they're a March Madness team, but how deep?
I mean, I mean, the second weekend for sure should be expectations. And what they have is they have this unique blend. Okay, first they have depth. Most teams don't have depth. They have experience in their backcourt. You're not winning. Okay, they have the ability to play multiple styles of defense. You know, they can, because I mean, like I'll give you a Gonzaga as an example. And last year was slightly different, and this year slightly different, but still the same. Like, Gonzaga has always been a team that they can't really change how you play based upon their defense. You know, they're solid man to man, or they run a 2-3 zone, or maybe they run some kind of junk zone. But for the most part, you're not changing who you are because of Gonzaga. Colorado State now, you know, they run a 1-2-2. They can press man-to-man. They can fall back into a matchup zone. Their man, they've changed kind of their man rules over this past offseason. Like, I think they're really good defensively. They can obviously shoot the basketball, which puts you in any game. Go ahead and, like, first, like, find a good team. Find a team in the ACC that really scares you. Find a team in the Pac-12. You got Arizona. And they're really good offensively, but they're not what Colorado State is defensively. You know, like, I think UCLA is really, really good, and they're a slight notch above Colorado State, but not like Colorado State can't beat them. Those are the teams you're going to play in the second weekend. The first weekend teams, there's lots of flawed teams. You know, I was talking with Bill Self this week, and he's like, look, we're good. They're like sixth in the country. Are you kidding me? Like, this is a solid roster. It's not great. Now, what all those teams have is they all have age. Colorado State has that. They all have backcourt. They have that. You know, they have a grad transfer that I think is they're figuring out how to use them. That helps. And they can play multiple styles defensively. Like, they're right there in that pool of teams outside of Gonzaga, Baylor. Trying to think who else I'm thinking of at the very, very top. Outside of that, they're right there. There's really not a lot of difference. Now, there's also not a lot of difference in the next 15, and as we saw, you know, when they go on the road, it can be a little bit different, and somebody can get up and nip you. And they haven't played, you know, the uber elites consistently, and that's more challenging. But I mean, really, that's a good basketball team, and there's no reason to think they can't. Seed 16 shouldn't be an expectation. Elite 8, and hell, Final Four is an ultimate goal, and it's not crazy to think that with all these other teams so completely flawed. And the other part is that, you know, one of the things, the biggest thing you have to manage now in college basketball is agendas, right? And when you take too many transfers, you know, or you have guys that are, you know, looking at the draft boards, their agenda, if your agenda is anything other than winning, and you have multiple important guys, their agenda is anything, that's really hard to expect winning to become the priority once you get to March. Everybody says, you know, once it gets important, now we'll start, yeah, but okay. They don't have those guys. You know, they have guys that are, you know, for the most part, they're the fat girl of the prom. They're just happy to be there. you know, and it's a team. But in the last part is the shoot. I can't, and I know they shot terribly last night, but like compared to how Utah State shot against Air Force, and I mean they were all Steph Curry last night. I mean, because they can really shoot. Take a look at how poorly Kentucky played last night. How poorly some of these teams with younger players shoot the basketball. You know, I really like this group and what it feels like is coming once they get to March.
Yeah, no doubt. You got a lot of Rams fans excited just talking about this team. Last one for you, Doug. Nico Medved, is he a Ram long term or is he going to be looking at some of those national jobs at some point?
I don't know. You know, Nico's only been a head coach outside of Drake at places that he's been before, and since Minnesota, he didn't get a shot at Minnesota last year or didn't take Minnesota last year. And obviously that being a place, like, I don't think there's an automatic fit. And I think, look, if somebody's going to come and say, hey, I'm going to give you, you know, $2.5-3 million, you know, over 6-7 years. I mean, that's hard numbers to turn down. But I also think that, you know, what happened to Tim Miles is a buyer beware. Like, Tim's got a bunch of money in his bank and he'll be able to coach ball the rest of his life, but is it really that fun to go make all that money in Nebraska when you can't win and people are on your ass for your last 2 years of being there and then you got to move your family again? Like, I don't know. So do I think he's a Ram for life? Probably not. I don't think there's a reason, though, that he has to move. And so, it's like one of those, you only leave. Like, he's not at the best job in the league. I think Colorado State could be, if you redo Moby a little bit, you know, you dial it up. They got to throw some money in there. They've obviously thrown money into football, and they haven't gotten the payback that they want. That's why another change was made. Got to throw some more money in there. And the other thing is, like, you know, last night was the first night this year that I've been there that the place wasn't on fire. And granted, the students not being there they're not in session, right?
Right.
And COVID, and it was still a good crowd. I mean, better than most places on January 4th, but you know. Regardless of whether or not you want him to stay or not want him, I mean, obviously you want him to stay. That place needs to be a zoo. Like, that needs to be the hardest place to play in the league, not just because they have the best team, but because you can't win in there with that crowd. I think that'll help you hold on to him a little bit longer because, you know, coaches look around the country and they sit there and go, like, why would I go somewhere else when I'm going to win 90% of my home games because you have no chance of even hearing yourself think inside Moby. But I don't know. Talking to him, I do think he's aware of what happened to Tim and how that should factor into what you're doing. I also think, like, look, if we're honest, he might not fit the profile of a lot of bigger jobs that come open. And then the last part is, of those big, big jobs that you have to leave for, they opened and closed already last year, right? And,
right.
Like, UCLA's not coming open. Indiana opened and closed. You know, he's not getting Kentucky. Duke's already got their next coach. Carolina's got their next coach. Arizona's got their next coach. So everything else are, and you know, Texas, you know, hired Chris Beard, who's an alum. The rest of the jobs are just, it's really got to be a big one. He's got to fit the profile. Would I get super emotionally attached to Nico? No. But would I believe him in saying, like, I don't think he's planning on leaving anytime soon? I think that's very believable. Unless somebody wants to come and give him some gigantic check, and he feels like it's in a part of a league that he can win in, consistently compete in, like you can at Colorado State. I don't see him packing his bags. There's no realtor sign from his house.
Doug Gottlieb, man, that's great stuff from you, host of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports. Man, just appreciate your time. I know you got your show coming up. I am a diehard fan. I have been for a very long time. We'd love to get you on more, man, and especially get your insight on other stuff, too, national stuff.
Yeah, well,
at some point.
Will you ask about Fangio?
Yeah.
I think Fangio's gone.
You hope so, right? I mean,
I personally don't have negative bias. I just know that he's a really good football coach, a really good defensive football coach. I think people are starting to see there's a reason that he's been in the league for like 40 years and just now got a job as a head coach. Like, he's a great defensive coordinator. But also, I think if we're fair, they never figured out quarterback. All these coaches that are getting broomed, you know, they're talking about Matt Rhule in Carolina. Like, one, you know, McCaffrey can't stay healthy all of a sudden, and two, you can't figure out quarterback. And Teddy Bridgewater is the world's greatest guy, but he ain't good enough.
No.
And, you know, Drew Lock ain't good enough. And if that position isn't set, it's just like point guard in basketball. They'll make you look like an inferior coach to how good you actually are.
Well, you know, for one thing, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Well, maybe we'll know on Sunday because the Broncos play on Saturday. Doug, my man, would love to do this again. I could talk to you for hours, my friend.
All right, brothers. Talk soon.
All right, man. Doug Gottlieb, host of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He called the game last night for CSU and Air Force. That guy's good, man. And he clears up. I gave him crap. I thought he said something like, hey, Air Force is struggling with CSU because they're at altitude. And I just tweeted him back. And I said, dude, did you just say that they're both in Colorado, bro? And he got after me. And then we became best friends. 52 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We still got the David Roddy Show coming up. This is how you do sports talk in Colorado, by the way. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Let's see. Let's get a texter here. Steve texting in. Great interview with Gottlieb. As for Nico's use of his 10-man roster, he always cuts to five or six during crunch time. But who those five or six depend on matchups that they chart during the game. It's not by accident. It's never the same five or six. And that's a good point. Listen, that's a strength for CSU at this point. But you typically do see, whether it's college or pro, you really see in the pros once the playoffs start, right? That you go down to your five, six, seven, maybe. College, you do typically, depending on the teams, unless you're like the Kentuckys of the world, the platoon effect, you do see teams kind of tighten it up and say, who are my core guys that are always going to be there deep with that last 5 minutes or so? It's hard to knock Nico Medved, man. They're sitting at 11-0. They just beat Air Force. They were off for like 3 million days. But they're 11-0. They're 20th in the country. Hard to argue with what Nico's doing. We got David Roddy coming up. The David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Man, I love Crazy Carl's Pizza. We're doing the getting to know David segment coming up a little bit later on, and people want to know what his favorite restaurant is. Come on. Come on. You know what that is. That's Crazy Carl's Pizza. All right, this is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Coming up next, the one and only David Roddy. We got the David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, coming up next.